Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time, and we're going to have to really concentrate during this segment because we got two important stops. The first one is in Chicago. The Bears are kicking off the 100th season of the NFL. It's a huge deal. We finally get the NFL back, and they're hosting the Green Bay Packers. They had a really memorable game last season to start things off, now in Chicago. And Mark Grody is the sideline guy for the Chicago Bears. He joins us now. Mark, thanks for joining us up here in Portland. I want to start with this one before we get to the game itself. The Bears were 12-4 last year. Going into this year, I know some people are betting on them, but the narrative doesn't seem to be there for a year or two. Some people think Green Bay will step up, Minnesota will win the division, versus the Rams did 11-5 in their first year with McVay, and everybody loved them the next year. What's the difference between year two with the Rams and year two with the Bears that people aren't as in on the Bears as they were with the Rams?
Yeah, I think that the answer is probably Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, I think it's fair to say that most people believe that the Bears' defense is legitimate, and I think that using the word elite is probably okay and appropriate to use, but there's just so much volatility in terms of the opinions and the evaluations and the scouting on Mitchell Trubisky at this point. You know, last year he did have a very good completion rate of over 65%, but a lot of those were the intermediate throws, the bailout throws, and he missed a lot of the reads down the field. So that's what has to improve. You know, Trubisky also, there's a problem, it seems like, in the NFL with quarterbacks that run. A lot of times they get run shamed, as I like to call it. Trubisky is one of the fastest quarterbacks in the league, and he used his legs for about 500 yards running, but there were times when he probably bailed out a little bit too quickly. And that's something that has to get better as well. So the short answer and a long-winded answer would be Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, I'm sorry to bring up a bad note, too, and start just with the opener being tonight, but I'm curious where they're at with the kicker position. I mean, we know that was so publicized last year and the way it went down and Parkey in the offseason. And I was fascinated by the way they handled it in training camp and trying to find a new guy. Like, where is that at, and how do you think Chicago handled it this offseason?
Well, as one who has been there since the beginning of the offseason workouts where they had 9 kickers and covering it, I am happy to report that the Bears are down to 1 kicker. His name is Eddie Pinheiro, a guy that they acquired from the Raiders last year. He was a guy that played in the preseason for Oakland last year but then was injured, missed the entire year. It would appear that he is the guy right now. In terms of how they handled it, you know, there's been mixed reviews about it. I think it was interesting at best, but this is a position that the Bears general manager, Ryan Pace, has not been able to get right at his time here, and they had to do something different. They did something creative instead of, you know, not talking about it and letting it be like a taboo topic. They welcomed every single question about it. They made the little gimmick out of it with the 9 kickers kicking 43-yard kicks as one of the tests. That was the kick that was missed last year in the playoffs by Cody Parkey, and doing something called the gust of silence where everybody just shuts up and they put the place on mute and they put that sort of silent pressure on. So it's been quite a ride, but at this point we're down to 1 kicker, and it's Eddie Pinheiro. And of the 9 guys I saw, I think it's legitimate that he's probably was the best of the bunch.
We're talking with the Bears sideline reporter ahead of their game against Green Bay kicking off the NFL season. Mark Grody is our guest here, previewing everything. What's the buzz in the city, man? What's it like in Chicago now that the Bears went from 12-4 and a lot of people have expectations within the city? Is it Super Bowl or bust this year for that fan base?
It sure feels like it. Yeah, as far as the fan base is concerned, yeah, man. I mean, you didn't win a playoff game last year, despite how terrific of a season it was. You overcame some demons last year. One of those ended up being Aaron Rodgers, at least in the second game, where they clinched the division here on Soldier Field turf, where I'm standing right now. But, yeah, I mean, the fans expect it, I don't know, like, nationally, if that's the same expectations. I certainly don't think it is. But, yeah, I mean, you have to advance beyond the first round. And the way this defense is set up, it is. There's no doubt that the defense of the Bears is Super Bowl caliber. It's just what we were talking about right at the beginning of this interview. It's can the offense at least get to, if they were at level 5 last year, can they make the jump to at least level 7? Because if the offense isn't, you know, better this year, it's going to be hard to expect and depend on the defense to bail them out again, like the defense, quite frankly, did a lot last year.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the opener because, I mean, 100-year anniversary, a great rivalry between Chicago and Green Bay. Now, my co-host took a steamy dump all over it yesterday, so I'll ask you, is this the best rivalry in the NFL?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am obviously biased, but I grew up here. Been around it. I've covered it. So, yeah, I mean, to me, it is like in baseball, like I'm willing to go outside of my bias a little bit because, you know, it's Cubs-Cardinals,
right,
of course, is what everybody would say. But, I'll give Red Sox-Yankees a chance in that. Like, I almost say the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry.
Oh, I think we lost him.
Yankees-Red Sox is the best rivalry in baseball, at least.
Yeah, there we go. Good stuff. Mark Grody, the Bears sideline reporter, joining us ahead of their big matchup against Green Bay to kick off the NFL season. Mark, enjoy it. You got a great view, man. Enjoy the season, and we'd love to catch up with you at some point down the road.
Anytime, guys. Have a great day.
Absolutely. There we go. Mark Grody, Bears sideline. Let's transition now to the big story of the day. Antonio Brown wanting to punch Mike Mayock in the face. Kevin Bollinger of the Fox affiliate over there. He's actually in Vegas getting ahead of their move here a little bit. And it's not like there's any news that the Oakland folk are missing or are catching that Kevin's not. So he joins us now. Kevin, thanks for hanging out with us here in Portland, man. I'll just start. Is he going to play any games at all with the Raiders? What's your guess on this one?
At this point, I would say no. I just think that at this point, they're trying to get their legal things tied up here. And I'm not sure if they really want the headache. Remember, this is only a 3-year deal that he signed. Mm-hmm. And the Raiders aren't exactly going to the Super Bowl this year. And so I think they need to look at the positives and negatives. And a lot of that, though, is going to depend on where he's at in the locker room and with John Gruden. Mike Mayock may be kind of the man that Gruden has kind of put out there to deal with all this stuff and kind of stay out of it, if he's still got the locker room with him. But the Raiders are not an organization that likes to get played publicly. So I would anticipate that there's going to be a suspension prior to the 1 p.m. Eastern Saturday roster cut line, if you will, because that would trigger his guaranteed money if he is on the roster at 1 p.m. on Saturday. And that could set them up to release them if they want to. But I'm sure that they're trying to look at possibly suspending him and then making a decision after the fact that would still give them that comfort zone financially of whether they can release him and not owe him the guaranteed money.
Yeah, and we all agree with you. And it's just hard to envision a way that he still ends up playing for Oakland after threatening to punch his boss in the face. But playing the other side of the hypothetical, if a suspension doesn't come, this kind of gets swept under the rug, or maybe it's a one-game suspension and he ends up coming back and playing the rest of the year. What kind of message does that send, I guess, just from the organization? And can they recover from allowing somebody to get away from something like that if they don't end up moving on from him?
You certainly don't want to kind of lay out that foundation that players are going to be able to come in and walk all over the organization, especially when you look at the fact that once they do move to Las Vegas, they're going to be super attractive to free agents that are going to want to come here because of Nevada's no state income tax. It's Las Vegas, which players obviously love. So they have a chance to get some high-profile players, but with that comes some divas at times. So if they kind of do this now with Antonio Brown, how much of a door does that open for guys down the road as well? I think that this is the time that you either make a statement one way or the other.
Yeah, Kevin Bollinger is our guest. He's on Twitter at Kevin Fox 5 in Vegas, sports director over there for their affiliate. And obviously the Raiders are going to be over there in about a year or so to start playing their games. I'm curious about that, Kevin. It doesn't feel like they're going to be a very good team this year and potentially their last year in Oakland. How ready is Vegas for the team, aside from just excitement of having a pro NFL team there? Are they happy about getting this particular team the way it looks today?
You know, it's a little bit of a different situation. You know, a lot of people try to compare it to the Golden Knights who came in with the NHL. But the way I look at it is, you know, everybody grows up with an NFL team that they're kind of steadfast with, maybe not on the West Coast as much with an NHL team. And so it was easier for fans to transition and jump on the bandwagon. I think it's going to be tough for a lot of people. If there's a ton of Bronco fans here in Las Vegas. Are they really going to cut ties with the Broncos and become a Raiders fan right away? I don't see that happening. I think it's going to be a generational thing with maybe the kids now that kind of have their local team, and we'll see that 20 years down the road. But certainly there is a ton of excitement to have an NFL team, and the Raiders, you know, will have a huge fan base. But let's face it, the visitors are going to have a big fan base on those games here in Las Vegas as well.
Absolutely. Destination city, man. It's an easy place to get to for a lot of people, and they get to go watch their team. Kevin Bollinger on Twitter, at KevinFox5Vegas. Kevin, great insight. Thank you for hanging out with us and hopping on, and I'm sure we're going to hear from you this season.
All right, Brandon, Andy, thank you much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.